Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are here with Barstool CEO Erica Nardini. She has a zillion things going on, but right now Barstool is going to be launching a new full all 24-hour channel on SiriusXM Power 85, and that is going to be launching on Wednesday. Erica, could you give me some details on what the lineup's going to be and any like quick descriptions of what the shows are going to be like?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me on. We're excited about Power 85 and obviously about expanding Barstool Radio. So we're launching, the channel will be 24 hours. It will be a combination of original shows, our podcast, and then live sports. And so the channel, as it will be tomorrow, will start with a show called Barstool Breakfast. So Willie Colon, Francis, and then Julie Stewart Banks will do a morning show, 2-hour morning show covering anything and everything, sports, pop culture, news, et cetera. We'll then move into the next original show will be from Pat McAfee and the Heartland crew. So they will do 3 hours of radio. You'll hear Pat, you'll hear Chef, you'll hear Todd McConus, Anthony Diggs. So you'll get a big rotation out of Heartland. So they'll have a show that covers anything and everything similar to what Pat has and what Heartland has from their pod right now. We're then introducing Chicks in the Office. So Fran and Rhea will do a 1-hour daily show. We'll then move into Barstool Radio, which is right now from 12 to 2 daily. We'll move to more of an evening drive slot, so that'll be from 4 to 6. And that's Dave, KFC, and then we're introducing Liz Gonzalez, who will join us starting tomorrow. And then we'll close out the original programming with a show called Evening Yak, which is created by Big Cat. And he will do that show, which will be sports, gambling, with Roan and then Carabas.
This is a little bit of a vague question, but like as you sit here a day before the launch, what is your goal on like a 1-year time horizon for this station?
I mean, to be honest, I'm just trying to create a station for tomorrow, so we're a little bit fly by the seat of our pants on this one. And, you know, Dave's done a great job of curating what I think is pretty electric programming. A year from now, I think you'll see a couple things. One is I think you will see arguably one of the best channels on SiriusXM. I think the energy we're bringing to it, the talent we're bringing, not just today, but the talent you'll see from us next month and the months thereafter is going to be pretty awesome. I think you'll also see a lot of energy in social and then a lot of energy around the brands that we're creating with Sirius. So Evening Yak is a great example. You'll see Big Cat, you'll hear from Roan, you'll hear from Carabas. There's a ton we can do with that. And a year from now, you know, what our hope is that the shows are awesome, that our fans like them, that we attract new fans to those shows and to Barstool Radio at large, that we introduce new talent that our audience likes or that brings audiences who like us, and that you see it be a top-performing show on Sirius, and then that we create, you know, great programs that we can build other things off of.
So SiriusXM is a little bit weird in that they say they don't have, like, any, like, really total audience measures for any of their given channels or shows, which is pretty different from like television or even local radio, where the AM and FM stations are all competing with each other in the Nielsen ratings. I'm wondering, when did you start to realize that the Barstool radio show on Sirius was resonating by whatever standards they use, such that they would really risk putting a whole channel together. Like, how did you know that this show was starting to catch on?
Great question. So we could see the show was catching on. We see it from social in particular. We could see the numbers and the level of engagement around Barstool Radio. I think what you also saw in Barstool Radio is we could see the level of callers that dial into Barstool Radio every day versus originally, you know, a year ago, that called into Rush. And so our first indication was, you know, we had 5 to 10x the amount of callers into one show as the channel combined. So we knew that we were different, and we knew we were bringing a lot of noise and a lot of excitement from our fans. And I think Dave and Kevin and the team did a great job of making a show that was wildly entertaining and covered, you know, anything from what's happening in the news or what's happening on the internet to what's happening at Barstool Sports. And I think Dave's done an incredible job of that and done an incredible job of curating a channel now that will reflect that. The second piece is we could start to see from Sirius when people were switching to our channel or to our show. So we could see there was behavior patterns around 12 to 2 where Sirius listeners were starting to tune into Barstool Sports. And I think that that is with a, you know, relatively low amount of marketing, relatively low amount of promotion outside of our own promotion. And so they could see that there was inclination towards listening to Barstool Radio. We could also see in the callers, frankly, where at first most of the callers were stoolies or fans of Barstool, and then we started to hear more and more from people who were new to Barstool and only knew us through Barstool Radio. Sirius has some limitations in tracking just by virtue of it being satellite and being one way, but, you know, I have to believe that their numbers were strong enough to invest in a full channel for us and then to invest in the type of talent and the type of shows that we're creating.
I'm not sure that you're going to be able to give a specific answer to this, and you're definitely not asking for, like, exact numbers, but if you were to, like, draw up a pie chart of where Barstool's revenue comes from, I'd be fascinated to know what percent comes from agreements with platforms like SiriusXM, Snapchat, Facebook, et cetera. I assume SiriusXM is the biggest piece of that slice now, versus merchandise, versus direct sponsorship from companies like Bud Light, Dunkin' Donuts, Totino's Pizza Rolls, to display ads from just web traffic to the amount that comes from podcast advertising. Is there a way you could put a pie chart together of, like, what percent of Barstool's revenue comes from, like, each of those slots?
Yeah, I can speak to it in broad strokes. So the first thing I would say is that we've had a pretty amazing year and a half of growth. So what our pie chart looked like a year and a half ago or a year ago or, frankly, even 6 months ago, it looks very different than the pie chart now. And, you know, at the core, in the same way Dave built the business, Barstool has direct-to-consumer lines of revenue. So merchandise is a big, big piece of business for us. Advertising is the fastest growing part of our business, right? We introduced brand marketers at scale to Barstool when I got here, building on the work Dave and the team had done around performance marketers. So advertising is a big chunk of our business. You know, merchandise is a very big chunk of our business. You've seen us introduce new lines of revenue to the business. So whether it's events, we did, you know, KFC Radio, we did at the Wilbur Theater last year. That's a good example. What we did at the Super Bowl last year, and we're doing our party. We announced yesterday we'll do a party with Tao on Friday night at the Super Bowl this year. And then the introduction of new brands. So we acquired Old Row, we acquired Rough and Rowdy, and we created the company that's Barstool Brawl. So that's two introductions of new types of revenue. One's merchandise and events. The other is pay-per-view. and obviously events being the rough and rowdy fights themselves. So, and then you'll see, you know, Dave and I both talked about it, as you will see us introduce subscription products this year. So our revenue stack is strong. You know, the core tenets of it are our ad business. So what we do for performance marketers and brand marketers, predominantly through the podcast, and then also increasingly through video and on the blog. Our merchandise business is a big part of Barstool, either under the Barstool brand or brands like Saturdays for the Boys. And then you're seeing us introduce new types of revenue, whether it's pay-per-view, event, subscription. And then licensing, obviously, from partners like Sirius.
One of the things about Barstool that's like just pretty amazing is you guys have an audience that's like totally engaged to you. There aren't like that many like casual Barstool fans. There are people who engage on it on every platform and spend all day in a Reddit message board talking about the subplots. And I'm wondering, is there an amount of expansion that you worry about with overexposure and spreading this audience too thin? Or do you think that you guys are growing with your audience so much that it's not something that you're concerned with?
So we think about our audience all the time. We are as obsessed with them as, you know, the best ones are obsessed with us. And, you know, the thing about the Barstool audience is it's different, right? Our fan base on Instagram is completely different than the fan base of the blogs, which is somewhat different than the fan base of Pardon My Take or KFC Radio. So it's hard to lump stoolies or fans of Barstool into any one bucket. We spend a lot of time thinking about where and how we connect with them and how we can make it easier for them to find us and to engage with us. Right now, frankly, we make it pretty hard. So we're working to be better at that and to do a better job of it. I think the other big things are, you know, we want to create a great product and a great experience for fans. We do, I think, a better job than anyone of carrying social conversation pretty constantly around the content that we make. Now, some of the things we're working on the product side are to make it easier for fans of Barstool, fans of our talent, fans of particular shows, or fans of particular channels, making it easy to go deeper with us around content that lives in those places.
The one platform that you guys have tried a couple times but hasn't quite stuck on yet is linear television. And then from there could also be the potential of like some type of show on Amazon or Netflix. Do you think it's a good bet that by this time next year there is like a solid contract for a video show on one of these platforms, or are you more focused on owning it yourself and driving subscription revenue?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ryan. So right now we're really focused on the bets that we're making for Barstool. So in the last month we launched Rough and Rowdy on December 15th, and we will launch Sirius tomorrow. So those are two pretty big moves for a company in this space and certainly for a company of our size. So that's where we're focused right now. We're also building out linear audio. So Sirius is the first time where you're seeing us create concurrent hours of programming that are longer form in nature versus short form, which is traditionally where we've come from. The pods were the first exploration into long form. When we had our radio show, that was a deepening of that. Now you're seeing us do that for, you know, 24 hours straight. I don't rule out us doing something in linear again, certainly, or with a digital player. We're in, you know, a fair amount of conversations as we speak. I think for us, the biggest thing we've learned is it has to be the right partner. There has to be the right partner. It has to be someone who gets Barstool and gets what they're, you know, getting into business with and partnering with. And then it has to be a place where we can grow the brand, or we can grow our talent by virtue of being on those platforms. You know, one of the things we saw in the last year is we did a lot of experimentation with traditional linear partners. And what we saw was we brought the brand, we brought the talent, We brought promotion, we brought engagement, and we brought ratings. So we want to work with partners who, you know, one, like us and want to be in partnership with us, and then two, who help us, you know, we know what we bring to a network, whether it's a social network or a TV network, and we want partners who will also bring us value. Snapchat's a great example of that. Fifth Year was a really successful show for us, and I think it was equally a successful show for Snapchat.
So you mentioned partners which didn't work out. Clearly, the high-profile example of that is what happened with Barstool, VanTalk, and ESPN. So it was, like, really fascinating to me because there was, like, a 6 to 8 month vetting process by all accounts. And it seemed like once it finally got signed and done and announced and they aired an episode, that ESPN was going to be fine with what they and many perceived to be warts of Barstool, past, present, and future. But then the tipping point was all of the Sam Ponder content, which really shouldn't have been a secret to anybody who made the deal there. And so it was, like, really fascinating how quickly that all came undone. And I'm just wondering, like, you had to have had conversations with these people about what your archives looked like, right? Like, how could they not have known?
Yeah, I mean, Barstool was, first of all, it's very Barstool to have one episode of a show. And I thought that show was a great show. I think Dan Katz and PFT are exceptionally talented. I thought Hank did a great job of making a show that was really different from anything else on ESPN2, and frankly, just anything else on television. So, you know, I was a huge fan of VanTalk, and I'm obviously a huge proponent of those guys, and they're awesome and very special talent. Barstool Sports was in the name of the show. You would assume that, you know, that you understand in calling a show on your network Barstool Sports, what Barstool Sports has been, where it's going, what it is. But I really can't speak to why that went the way it did inside of ESPN. Obviously, it was, you know, pretty disappointing on our end to see that happen. So I don't know, Ryan. It's hard to look inside somebody else's house and see what's happening. I think their talent put a lot of pressure on their executive team. There was a lot of noise, you know, in a period of time where ESPN maybe didn't want more noise. I don't know.
So switching gears a little bit, Barstool got acquired by the Chernin Group about 2 years ago. And based on everything we've talked about, it's really grown by leaps and bounds into all different types of platforms and opportunities from a business perspective. As you look forward to the next 2 years, I wonder, like, whether you would want to be acquired or whether you would want to continue on, like, the level of distribution and size of business that you're just growing at organically. Because the positives could be, like, really, like Dave always talks about taking it to the moon. If it got acquired on something like a nine-figure valuation, we're really talking about going to the moon. But you could see, like, with past internet companies like BuzzFeed and Vice, who were, like, really the hot items 2 to 3 years ago, now we see the pressure that they're missing revenue targets, and, like, the people in the venture capital and other ownership stakes are starting to put pressure on them to deliver. So I'm interested in how you kind of look at that dichotomy of staying at the size and scope that you're at, not the size, but the level of ownership that you're at, versus really, like, taking a gigantic investment.
Yeah. Yep. So the biggest thing for Dave and I is that we're true to the brand and true to the voice, and that what he created in 2004, that the heart of that stays intact. And what we've done a great job of, you know, we're one of, if not the fastest growing brands in social and on the internet, is we've just harnessed that core and we've brought it to new places and we've put muscle behind it and we've brought some guns and steel and some expertise to help help really blow out what, you know, while keeping the heart of what Dave created and Dan and Kevin and Keith and Paul and Feidelberg, like all those original guys who are still here, you know, just really harnessing the power of the brand that they helped build and bringing it into new places and putting it out on different air. I think the hard thing for the BuzzFeeds and Vices of the world and, you know, Vox, whomever, is they've taken, you know, a pretty staggering amount of capital, and that comes at significant cost. They, you know, the other challenge right now, and you see it with the Facebook news, is when you are dependent on advertising as a business model and you are dependent on someone else's pipes for traffic, it puts you in a really precarious situation. And certainly, you know, in the case of BuzzFeed, I have huge respect for Jonah and what he's built, but he's in a tough place right now because the revenue numbers keep going up. The advertising marketplace is getting commoditized, and Facebook's changing its algorithm, which jeopardizes how he drives scale. So, you know, for Barstool in particular, we, you know, I would like to say that we have a grand plan for where this thing will go. At the same time, we're launching a radio, you know, radio channel tomorrow, and we're still trying to figure that out, and that's, you know, 17 hours away at this point. So, you know, I think for us, we will continue to grow. You will see us do different things. You'll see us acquire companies. You will see us bring on talent. You will see us try new formats. You will see us expand into new arenas. I don't see us taking on an incredible amount of capital and looking to be, you know, a $1 billion company tomorrow. But what I think you will see is the same slow and steady growth and just really at a bigger clip and in new places. That's what I think you'll see from us.
You mentioned in ESPN there was like a pocket of talent that was, I don't know, maybe even on the brink of revolt and trying to get Barstool off the air. And probably once every 2 or 3 months, there's a big story from an outlet that, like, for example, Think Progress had a big story like Barstool hates women. And then there are people who say that Barstool and Dave use you as a crutch to get away with misogyny. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to defend yourself and defend the company against these claims.
So, you know, anyone who knows me or any interview I've done, I am pretty fiercely protective of Barstool, and I love what we're building, and I don't think there will ever be a company like this company. And I think to look at Barstool today, you can't refute, you can't change, you can't have revisionist history on where Barstool came from. I also think that most people who criticize Barstool don't read Barstool. And when I hear claims of just how misogynistic the content is or this, that, the other thing, like, I find mostly that's from people who don't actually engage with the content. That said, Barstool, you know, I say this all the time, Barstool's not for everyone. And there are people and, you know, many people who think Barstool is offensive or don't like our takes or don't appreciate Barstool's brand of humor. And I completely respect that. Like, this is not a brand for everyone. And I think that's in part what makes it so special is that, you know, it's not meant to be for everyone. And it's not going to be meant for everyone. And, you know, yeah, like I get accused of being a token woman here, which is, you know, I think ironic, given that I run the company. But I'm really proud of what we're building. I'm very proud of the culture that we have. I think we have incredibly talented people who work here. I think everyone who is part of Barstool believes in Barstool and wants, you know, this underdog company to have its chance. And I appreciate, and I, you know, I listen to the criticism. I appreciate it. I get it. But this isn't going to be a company that is for everyone. And I think that that's, you know, that you see more and more of that right now in the internet. You see more and more of that in media. And I like that we're a little bit different.
So I know you're exceedingly busy. I want to get you out of here on this. Is there anything that we didn't talk about either with Barstool, past, present, future, or anything else in digital media that you think is really interesting and you want to discuss right now?
I mean, I think it's just a really interesting time in media. I think it's an interesting time on the internet. I think that all that matters is voice and point of view and audience. And I think you're seeing that there's a very big difference between having traffic and having a brand and audience. And I think people should look for big things from us.
Thank you so much, Erica. Barstool Radio launches Wednesday, January 17th, SiriusXM, Power 85. Thank you again. We really appreciate your time.
Cool. Thanks, Ryan.
Familiar touch turns strange.